Morning, everyone. Good to see all of you, and glad that our youth had a great time at camp this week. We have had a couple of great camps so far this summer, and I want to say thank you to you as a church family. It's because of your support, your generosity that allows this to happen, and lives are being changed. And we're only halfway through the summer. The big camps are out of the way, but there's still a lot of stuff that's coming up through this summer. And so I want to take a moment, if you will help me out. Can we say just a big thank you today to all of our children's workers, our youth workers that take time to invest in these students and these kids? Can you help me? Let's give them a thank you this morning. They are a special group, and we're so glad to have them, and we're always looking for more help. So that's a plug for you. If you want to get involved and help out, then we would encourage you to do that. They're having a great time, and we're having a great time. Watch them have a great time. And being a part of that. So if you would, as Marcelo said, get your Bibles out today. Turn to Psalm 42. We're in a series of messages this summer, as we're just calling it Summer in the Psalm. And we are looking at different psalms each week, not in any particular order, but we're just picking out some and looking at those. And so glad that you're here. Glad that you're ready to dive into God's Word this morning. So as we get there, I've got a couple of questions that I want to start out with today. And the first question is this. How many of you have ever had a time in your life where you were discouraged? Raise your hand. Raise it. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. All right, everybody look around. Every hand in this place is up, pretty much. They were. Some of you are getting lazy, putting the hand down. All right. So let me ask you this. How many of you would say, being honest, that there have been times in my life that I felt distant from God or felt like God may be too far out of reach right now? Hold up your hand. Hold it up high. Don't be shy. We're just family here today. All right. Now, how many of you, this one you may not want to answer as much, but how many of you would say there have been seasons in my life where I have struggled with depression of some sort? Raise your hand. Okay. Big chunk of us. Look around. Look around. The reality is that for all of us, we go through times where we are discouraged. We go through times where it may seem like God is distant, that God is not close. We go through times, many of us go through different seasons where we struggle with depression, that's physical depression. And many of us will go through seasons where we will suffer with what we're going to call spiritual depression. And it's just a reality of life. Now, last week in the message that we looked at, I was talking about the confident joy in the Lord. And as we were preparing messages for this summer, I told Shane, man, I'm sticking with the fun psalms. I like the fun psalms. There's a lot of good psalms out there that just get you excited, and you look at God and who He is, and man, it just kind of pumps you up, and you think about the confident joy that we have in the Lord, and there's nothing that can cause that joy to go away. Because we learned last week that joy is not an emotion. Joy is not something that comes and goes because of our circumstances that we face in life. That joy is rooted in our trust and our faith in God. And that joy comes from Him. Now, happiness, on the other hand, is something that's totally different, because happiness is determined by our circumstances in life. Today, I can be very happy, and tomorrow something can happen. I can have a flat tire. I'm not real happy if I get a flat tire, right? Unless somebody shows up to change it for me, I'm definitely not happy. So there are things in life that cause us not to be happy, but those things should not steal our joy, because that joy is rooted in who we are in Christ and our relationship with Him and who we are in God. But our other emotions sometimes can overshadow that joy. So sometimes when we get discouraged in life, when things aren't going quite our way in life, it can overshadow the joy that is still there. Sometimes when we're not happy because of the circumstances in life and the things that are going on, it can overshadow that confident joy that we have. And sometimes we have to kind of dig down a little bit to be reminded of that joy. So the reality is, things happen in life. Discouragement comes. Sometimes depression comes. Sometimes we feel very distant from God, and all those things overshadow that confident joy that we have. So this message is really kind of part two of last week. But the title of today's message is My Hope is in God. And we're going to be looking at Psalms 42 and Psalms 43. These two psalms tie together. You will see that as we go through. I don't think they were ever meant to be separated necessarily, because the same flow is there. Everything is there. You can tell that they are basically one and the same. So let's read this together. Psalms 42, beginning in verse 1. He says, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, 'Where is this God of yours?' My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar, I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and your surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, 'Where is this God of yours?' Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Declare me innocent, O God. Defend me against these ungodly people. Rescue me from these unjust liars. For you are God, my only safe haven. Why have you tossed me aside? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. There I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for your word. God, I thank you for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come and study your word together. And we thank you that your word will accomplish what you have set forth for it to accomplish today. So God, would you just speak through me? Would you use me today? In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So as we get ready to dive into the psalm, there are a couple of things that I want you to take note of here at the very beginning. And the first is what the heading of this psalm is. Look back at the beginning, and if your Bible has the title up there, it'll say something like, "For the choir director, a psalm of the descendant of Korah." So the first thing we see, for a choir director, that means that this psalm is a psalm that is to be sung. It is a song that the congregation would sing. Now, as I read through there, I thought this is an interesting song for the congregation to sing. I feel so distant from God. I feel so sad. I feel so discouraged. I feel so depressed. God does not even seem care. He's cast me aside. Now, that's an exciting song, right? That'll get you pumped up on a Sunday morning. I feel so discouraged. But as we look through the song, we see how discouraged he is. We see how depressed he is. But as we dig through there, we see that what he is doing for that discouragement and for that depression. So it was a song that was sung, but not only that, he goes on and he says, a psalm of the descendants of Korah. So it was written by the descendants of Korah. Who are the descendants of Korah? Well, if you go back into the book of Numbers, you will see who Korah is. In number 16, you see that this man named Korah, he had a couple of friends with him. And Korah was rebellious towards God. And he was rebellious towards God's leaders, Aaron and Moses and the other leaders of that day. And not only was he rebellious, but he was stirring other people up to be rebellious as well. Now Moses gets word of this, and so Moses calls Korah out. And he says, tomorrow we're going to stand before the Lord, and all the people are going to gather around, and God will prove, he will show who the faithful are, who the righteous are, who the true ones are. So the next day comes, Korah and his friends and their family, they're all gathered around, and the people that they have brought in with them, the people that they have encouraged to join their side. Now God lets Moses know that, hey, I'm fixing to take them all out. I'm taking out Korah, his friends, and the people that have followed them. And Moses says, wait a second, God, don't punish all the other people because they have fallen into this lie. And so God says, okay, well, you go and get them away. So Moses goes to the people and he says, God's getting ready to do something. You people better back off. And so the people, they back up and they're watching. As soon as the people get out of the way, then God opens up the ground. And Korah and his friends and all their possessions are swallowed up into the ground, and the ground closes. Now, all the people that were following Korah and his friends, believing their lies that they were telling and the stirring up that they were doing, they're all now standing back, and they get scared because they're like, if God did that to them, what's he getting ready to do to us? And it kind of got their attention for that moment. But that's who Korah was. Now, what's interesting here is the sons of Korah were spared. And we know that because we see in other passages, the sons of Korah, we see who they are. The descendants of Korah are now the worship leaders for the priest. They're the worship leaders as the people are going to the temple to meet with God. These worship peoples are leading the way. And that's what he says when he says, I remember when I was leading the people. What a great celebration that was as we were going to meet with God, as we were singing and we were worshiping. That was the descendants of Korah who were leading that group of people for the priest. And I find that very interesting and amazing, because it shows us God's grace and God's love. That even though you had a man who was very rebellious towards God, a man who was trying to turn people away from God's leadership and his people, and God has to take him out because of what he's doing is so bad, yet God spares his sons, and not just spares his sons, but God shows his grace and love to his sons, and now his sons are in ministry, leading worship for the people, leading them to God. God's grace, God's love. And that shows us that no matter what our parents are like, no matter what we're like sometimes as parents, that God can do great things even with our descendants. So for some of you parents, that's real good news, right? Because I've seen, never mind. All right, I'm going to digress. We're moving on, going on. So we see the descendants of Korah. The second thing that I want you to see is that when our soul is discouraged, it's not an easy place to be. When our soul is discouraged, when our soul is depressed, it is not an easy place to be. But what we see through this depressed man, this discouraged man, he's really just pouring out his heart of here's where I'm at. Here's what I'm going through. Here's what I'm struggling with. And he was at a low place spiritually. He was at a low place physically and or emotionally. But it is in this difficulty of this psalmist's life that he gives us words of hope that reminds us what we need to do when we find ourselves in those discouraging times of life. So now as you think about depression and discouragement in the Christian life, there's a lot of misconceptions out there that you may hear. But there's one big one that I want to address as we begin this morning. And I don't just say it's a misconception. I think this is one of the greatest lies of the enemy to help bring Christians down even lower. And the lie is this, that as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, you should never be discouraged and you should certainly never be depressed. There are people out there that will actually teach that. And if you believe that today, then don't read through the Psalms, because you will see the psalmists, different psalmists, that they went through seasons where they were high, they were low. They were on a mountaintop and they were in a valley. And what I love about looking through Scripture is we see that that is not hidden from us. But the reality is this, when we come to know Christ as our Savior, when we come to Him and we give our life to Him, all of our problems that we have in this world don't just magically disappear. Boy, it'd be great if they did, wouldn't it? Think about how life would be if they just magically disappeared. But that's not the reality. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us that that's not going to be the case. I say this a lot, but Jesus tells us that in this world, you're going to have what? Come on, help me out. In this world, you're going to have troubles. But he doesn't leave it there. He says, but don't worry, because I have overcome the world. So what Jesus is saying, I'm not taking you out away from all the troubles, but you can rest assured I have overcome the world, and because I have overcome the world, you too will overcome the world. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have difficulties here in this world. And we know that's true because in our lives, we will have troubles. We will have difficulties. And sometimes those troubles will bring us down. They will cause discouragement and possibly even cause depression. We see that as we look through Scripture. Remember the story of Elijah? Elijah was coming off of a spiritual mountaintop experience where he was on Mount Carmel and he was standing against the prophets of Baal. And remember that God came and he destroyed the prophets of Baal. Had to be a great time in Elijah's life, and Elijah's coming down off the mountain. Well, Queen Jezebel's a little bit upset because the prophets of Baal were making her money, and now they're not going to be able to make her money anymore. So now she puts out word that, Elijah, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. So Elijah goes on the run. And Elijah's thinking about this death threat that is now out there against him. And while he's on the run, he gets very discouraged, very depressed, to where he is sitting down and he is calling out to God, please just kill me. Please take me out before she does. He was at a low point in his life. What about Job? Remember the story of Job? You can read about Job in the book of Job. And Job's circumstances, his whole world falls apart. But it says that Job was a righteous man. But even in all the difficulties and the circumstances he was going through, it brought him down to the point where he cursed the day that he was born. Now you have to be pretty low in your life. You have to be going through a lot of discouragement and depression to curse the very day that you were born. And all throughout Scriptures, we see stories of people that struggled with discouragement, even depression, at different times in their life. So when I had you raise your hands this morning, if you've ever been discouraged, you've ever gone through depression, I wanted everyone to see that if you're in that season right now, you are not alone. If you've been through that season and you're going to go through that kind of season again, you are not alone. Look through God's word and see that you are not alone. It is just a reality of life. But the question is, how do we get through it when that happens? Well, this morning I want us to break this down a little bit, and I want us to look at the cause of his discouragement. And then I want us to look at what he was doing through that discouragement. So the first thing I want you to see this morning, one of the causes for his discouragement was constant criticism. Notice in verse 3 that he says, day and night I have only tears for food while my enemies constantly taunt me. So he had enemies out there that day and night were constantly criticizing him. How many of you know that criticism can bring you down? And constant criticism can really bring you down. So he has this constant criticism going on. It is day and night. These guys are criticizing him, but they're not just criticizing him for who he is. They're criticizing him in his faith as well. Because they look at him and they say, where is this God of yours? You know, sometimes we feel like when we're going through depression and struggle, we'll put a smile on our face and we'll act like everything is good. And I don't know that that's what he was doing. But the people around us can see that there's an issue, that there's a problem. They can see that we're discouraged and depressed, and they can see it in him. And instead of being there to help lift him up, these enemies of his were trying to bring him down even further. And they're calling out, where's your God? Where's your God now? Why is your God not here taking care of you? And they were constantly criticizing him. Understand this, that constant criticism can significantly lead to depressive symptoms in our life. If you're around constant criticism, it will bring you down. And it won't just bring you down spiritually, but it'll bring you down physically, emotionally, in every way. It will just drain you if you're around that constant criticism. The second thing that we see is that he had some unrealistic expectations. He goes on in verse 4 and he says, "My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I remember the way it was in the past. I remember the good old days." You remember the good old days when I was leading worship and we were walking in? Man, things were great. The congregation was celebrating. We were singing all these praises. Everything was good. It was the good old days. I love it when I hear people talk about the good old days, the way that it used to be with God, the way that it used to be in churches, the way that it used to be in our world. And when you begin to listen to the good old days, it causes you to sit back and go, doesn't sound like those were maybe such good old days. I'm reminded that the best days that we have are the days that we're living in right now, right? And some of you are going, no, that's not true. I remember the good old days. Now, keep in mind, we're going to look at this in a moment. There's not a problem with him remembering what God did, but it's when you're expecting things to always stay the same. God, that's the way I expected it to be. I didn't expect things to be different in my life. I didn't expect to be out here far from you. That's where I liked it. That's where I wanted it to be. I wanted it always to stay that way. And that's an unrealistic expectation, because the reality is life is always changing. Circumstances are always changing. Things are going to be different at different seasons of our life. Now, we don't know exactly what made this season of his life different, but we get a few clues here. But some suggest that when David fled into the wilderness, when Saul was going after him to kill him, there were several people that went with him. And some suggest that possibly this is one that went with David to the wilderness. But again, we're not sure. We don't know why he's there, but he does give us a clue. He says, "I'm so distant from you." How does he say that? He goes on and he says, down in verse 6, "My God, now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar." So he's saying, from Mount Hermon, I am so distant from you, even from this far away. Well, Mount Hermon is a long way away from Jerusalem, where he was leading worship. As a matter of fact, Mount Hermon is in the northern part of Israel. It's about as far away from Israel as you could get. I looked it up on the map this week because I was just curious. How far away is it? And it's almost 300 miles to Mount Hermon. So he was a long way away from Jerusalem, right? And he's saying, that's how far away that I am. So he was far removed from what he was remembering, what he always wanted it to be like. Now, as we think about that, I want to give us a word. That is, don't take for granted what God is doing today. And I think a lot of times in our Christian life, especially when things are going great, when we love everything that's going on, we love our church, we love our worship, we love our family, we love everything that God is doing, don't take that for granted, because things very well could change tomorrow. I say that in our country today. I think for years Christians have taken for granted what we have in our Christian nation. And we're seeing those things slip away. Don't take for granted what we have today, because things may change tomorrow. And when you think of the past, don't just live there, but look forward to what God is going to do in the future. Also, we see the accumulation of life struggles. So he had constant criticism, unrealistic expectation, and then the accumulation of life struggles. Look back at verse 7. He says, "I hear the tumult of raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me." He gives this vision, if you would, of like being in the sea and the waves just keep crashing over you. Those are the problems that we have in life, the criticism that he faced, the remembering, the way that things used to be. living that life in the past and all these different things. How many of you have ever had problems in your life and it seems like when one problem comes, another problem follows and another problem follows and another problem follows and it just feels like you're getting hit wave after wave after wave and you feel like that you're going under. Now, I'm not a big water person and I don't like those big waves hitting me and I certainly don't like going under the water because all of a sudden you can't breathe underwater, right? And that's the way it is when we feel like all those problems are coming one after the other. We get to where we feel like we're being suffocated and we can't breathe because of all the issues that are going on. And he says, that's the way my life is right now. I just feel like I'm getting hit wave after wave after wave. The accumulation of life's problems and struggles can lead to depressive symptoms in our life. And because of these things in his life, the psalmist was very discouraged. In verse 5, he felt like he was forgotten. In verse 9, he felt like he was broken. In verse 10, he felt guilty. And in verse 43:1, he felt tossed aside. In 43:2, he felt sad. In 43:5, this is a man that was obviously at a very low season of his life because of all these things that were going on. But what did he do? Now, keep in mind that as we read through this Psalms, we don't get to the end here and go, oh, well, there's the happy ending of all this. That's not what you see here. But what we do see are things that he was doing along the way and things that we can do in our life when we find ourselves discouraged. And by the way, these are things that we should practice every day, even when we're not discouraged. So when that discouragement comes, we're ready. And the first thing is this, he longed for God. Look back at verse 1. In chapter 42, he says, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. He had a longing for God. He longed for God. He wanted to be close for God. And I find this interesting because here's a man that's very discouraged. He's got all these problems, all these things. If this were me writing that, I would have gone to God and said, God, you know every problem that I have. Get them out of my life, please. Take care of them today, please. But that's not what he does. He goes and he says, God, as a deer pants for water, I'm longing for you. He gives us another image of a thirsty deer that is hunting for that water, that just needs that drink of water, that deer understanding that I need that water for life. And the psalmist understood that he longed for God because he needed God for his very life. He needed God. So he longed for him. That longing for him means that I want you with everything that I have. I need you with everything that I have. Every part of my being. And I am searching after you. Let me remind you today that many times God is allowing the difficulties in our life to bring us to that point where we long after him. A couple of years ago, been several years ago now, I was going through one of the darkest seasons of my life. It was a struggle in that different time in my life. I knew what got me there. I knew how I ended up there, but it was still a dark season of life. And as I was going through that season, and after I got through that season, looking back, I could tell that God was with me through every bit of it. And at the end of it, it was easy to see that God was using every moment of that dark season of my life to get me to the point where I longed after him above everything else. Where I would seek him first, where I would come to him first. He allowed those things to bring me to a point where I wanted him with every part of my being. Secondly, not only did he long for God, but he continually gives God praise. I want to tell you, giving God praise in the dark days of your life, in the hard days of your life, in the discouraging days of your life is a very powerful thing. But notice that the psalmist in verses 5 and 11 and in verse 5 of chapter 43, he says, I will put my hope in him and I will praise him again. Now, some say that he is saying that I will praise him again. After all this is over, I will be back where I'm supposed to be, and I will be praising him. But let me tell you, there's something special about praising God in the dark days of life. There are days that when I'm discouraged and I'm feeling down, I will get in my car, I will drive somewhere, I will turn that praise music on, I will be singing out to God, I will be just worshiping him because there's something special about that. And not only will I do that, back up. There's a reason I do that, because if I start singing and praising God, it discourages and depresses everybody else around me. So I have to do that. I have to get in my car where I'm by myself. But there's times that I'll even turn off the radio and I will come up with my own praise songs. They're not very good, but they're mine. And it's just pouring out my heart to God and worshiping Him. There's something special about that. Continually give God praise. And then thirdly, replace your thoughts with His truth. Replace your thoughts with His truth. The psalmist says in 43:3, let your light and let your truth guide me. His thoughts were thoughts of hopelessness and despair. His thoughts were thoughts of discouragement and depression. His thoughts were thoughts that would make anybody else feel depressed and down. His thoughts were not God's thoughts or God's truth. So he says, let your truth and let your light shine on me. God's truth says that when the critics hate you, when the critics are against you, when the critics are bringing you down, I still love you and I'm here with you. His truth is when he felt like he was all alone, that God was distant, God's truth says that I never leave you, I never forsake you, I'm right here with you. God's truth makes a difference. So replace your thoughts with God's truth. And look what happens. His truth will light the way to the altar of God, where the source of all my joy comes from. His truth that reminds when we feel like God is very distant, that He is so close, so close. And the fourth thing is remember God. And we see that in verse 6. He says, I will remember you. Remembering what God has done in the past, but not living there, and looking to what God is doing now in the presence, which sometimes is very hard to see because of the discouraging things that are going on in front of us, but also looking forward to what God is going to do in the future. God will see you through. God will see you through, and God has great plans. So I ask you today, can you say today that your hope is in God? No matter what comes your way, no matter what your circumstance, is your hope in God? Because if your hope is in anything else other than God, you will be greatly disappointed. And that hope in God begins with a relationship. And that relationship comes through knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's where it all begins. That is where our hope is found. And no matter what we face in life, we can go to Him. We can turn to Him, because my hope is in Him. Let's pray together. Today, as we bow our head and close our eyes, I ask you that question. Where is your hope found? Is it in God? Today, if your hope is not in God and He's speaking to your heart, then can I tell you the greatest decision you can make is trusting in Him, placing your faith and your trust in Him. And if you are ready to do that today, then right where you're at, you can just open up your heart to Him and He will change your life. He's not going to take all your problems away. He may take some, but He will be there with you to see you through. Place your faith and trust in Him. That's where our hope is found. Father, today, we thank You for Your wonderful love for us. We thank You for the hope that comes through knowing You. We thank You for the joy that we have in our life, that no matter what circumstances may be, that we know who You are, and we trust in You, and we know that You will see us through. God, I pray today for anyone here that may be very discouraged. Maybe they're going through a season of depression in their life. That God, this message would speak to their heart. Your word would speak to their heart. God, I pray for anyone here that may not know You as their Lord and Savior. God, I pray today that You would just draw them close to You, that they would receive You unto yourself, that today would be the day of salvation for them. God, I pray that we would just be responsive to Your word today as You lead us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.